Down to brass tacks.
I especially good evening, Lisa. Gary here from Port St. Jose.
Mm-hmm.
I call in to just respond to Mark and to give a little update on what is going on or what happened, give first hand information of what happened last Saturday with his family. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
First, let me agree with Mark that all policies and all procedures wasn't followed. But in all fairness to Mr. Jordan English, you know, when one sees some person in a situation, you know, one just reacts. And that's what happened in this case. And the young man who has a wonderful heart, I have a heart for things like this, you know, he just reacted. And also, you know, when I stepped in, I wanted to help out as well, too, because, you know, I see the need. Now, there's other things that we didn't see at the time or we didn't thought of all the time. Because, you know, we are all human beings. We just want to help. If my mom was alive, I know that today all those people would have been in our house, because that's how I was raised up. You know, my mom loved kids. And
special lady.
Yes, ma'am. And to us, that was the white elephant in the room. We know that there's other underlying issues that need to be done. They need to be dealt with, and the rightful authorities have no step forward, and they're going to deal with that. The body are more trained and professional to handle that. No, we want to. I mean, the family, and especially the girls, they had a wonderful staycation, and that's what I want to call it. And this is ended tomorrow, and then they'll be moving over to the a place that the minister has assured us that will be ready for them tomorrow. Now, I also personally and publicly want to thank Minister Rowe, who has stepped up, and you know, he came up there, meet with his family, and you know, and came at the property and stuff, and did a walkthrough, and you know, they take charge. They know how best to handle such cases. And you know, I want to say the government really stepped in and promised to help, and will help, you know. So all the underlying issues that we are not professional enough to handle, Child Care Board and all the other agencies will take over.
Okay, thank you so much for sharing your perspective and giving us that update. This is Dr. Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon, Lisa.
Good afternoon.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
And good afternoon to Mr. Dennis Johnson.
Yes.
Yes, I'm calling from Park Road, but Charlie have a pipe here burst now about 2 months, and the water just running and going in the well. Because I live next to the well.
2 months or 2 days or 2 weeks?
More about nearly 2 months now.
2 months. And you called in already?
Pardon me?
You called in already?
I haven't got through. So I decided not to call here, right?
Park Road, Bush Hall.
Yes, please.
A pipe? It's a pipe or it's a main?
It's a pipe. It's a main, right up straight through the gap.
Main burst? Okay.
Yes. And okay. Water running from down the road there straight into the well. I live next door to the well.
Mm-hmm.
So the mosquitoes, there's at night now.
Yes.
When you're sitting down there, but there's, you know, eating it up and things like that there.
When you're on your curtilage.
Okay, then. So that's why I'm calling out to get some assistance.
Okay.
Like running on the carriage, and the carriage to and fro. Mm-hmm. Next, you know, the water running, they're going to go into a hole. Because water running all the time, you know, it's going to go in a hole.
Yes.
You know, because it's a gap.
But you said it's right by the well, so.
Well, the water runs straight down into the well. Straight down into the well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. So thanks for that. Park Road, Bush Hall. Yes.
Park Road, Bush Hall.
Park Road, Bush Hall, St. Michael.
Yes. Yes,
members
please.
Of the Barbados Water Authority, hopefully you hear this call and you send someone out to attend to that very important water wastage. We need our water.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you so much for calling. Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. It is now 11 minutes after 12. Remember, we're going until 2 p.m.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Miss Gail. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Good. Welcome back.
Mm-hmm.
just want to address three or four things very quickly. Could I have you, is it possible you could explain or go into more detail about the Green Energy Program? I was watching a news caption not long ago. And, like, how, in your opinion, how feasible would it be to the average Barbadian, especially in what they're going through now, finance-wise and stuff like that? Because the gentleman that was talking about it say that there are different financial houses that people can go into to have this green energy available into their housing. And in your opinion, is it feasible at this time? And would it be wise at this time to make such an investment, especially with the trouble with finance, people not working, et cetera, et cetera? And before I go any further, I want to know what you can say.
Give me all three. One is the Green Energy Program.
Yes. Okay. Okay. The next point would be basically the guy that you had on before you terminated his call or whatever, basically, to be quite frank, was talking a lot of rubbish. God is not an author of confusion, and he seemed quite confused in what he was saying. Lots of confusion, right? Don't even need to even go much into that, because he was basically confused. Because to hear a person that can talk like that and say those kind of things just really boggles the mind, really. And people like that, you can't get vexed with them. You can only pray that they would come to their senses and God will open their eyes. Right? Because it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three in one. You need to read Revelation, and you need to read Genesis.
Peter.
Pardon?
And Peter.
Yeah, and Peter. Yes, correct. You're correct on all accounts. So people like that, you can't get mad with them.
But you can't say that they're talking foolishness, so.
You know?
Yeah, the foolishness of God is not even the wisdom of man.
Yeah, well, he wasn't uttering nothing with common sense, to be quite frank. I'm sure you know that.
That's his perspective. His perspective. That's how he feels about it. He says he's confused. Did he not say that?
Yeah.
Right. So allow him to express how he feels about what his challenges are in interpreting the Bible and religion and those things. You may not agree with it. And I don't agree with it, if I may, the other callers.
I know. Hence is why you're not responding.
No. I had to let the gentleman speak, and then we had to go to a break. So I didn't cut him off if you thought I did. No. The producer had an ad in there, and then we had to go to the break.
Well, fair enough. We'll just remember him in prayer. But moving on quickly, because you have a lot of calls.
And don't say I'll just remember him in prayer in a very nonchalant manner if you don't mean it. Genuinely pray for wisdom for people so that they can have an understanding and an enlightenment of who God is, etc. I hope you do. Continue.
Yes, sir.
Your background is not very conducive to good listening, though, so you need to have to move away from those.
I did. Sorry about that.
Okay.
I would like somebody from the, if possible, because we've heard from the different clergy speaking and talking about this new restrictions in place for the church. And I have not heard anything from any of the leaders of the People's Cathedral. And if possible, I would like to hear how they're going to handle this new measures that are being put in place. And because people, I believe, are still confused. I know I am with the new measures, like the 40 foot per square. How much people? How would you know who is to come into church or not? They take a registry of who comes. I mean, there's some kind of confusion in there. So I would like somebody from People's Cathedral to come and say something, because they've been very quiet and haven't been hearing nothing from them. And it would be good to hear something from some senior member on the staff level or the administrative level from People's Cathedral. If they're hearing me, it was good to hear from them. One final thing. I hope that the people here in Barbados have seen the reoccurrence of the reclosure of in that island where they have to renew the restrictions, shut back down everything. It was just talked about in the news. I believe it is, you could correct me, I believe it's NASA mm-hmm. or the some part Bahamas. Of Bahamas, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Am I correct? Yes, yes, yes.
Right. So I hope that people here who was listening to news heard that, because this thing is no joke, mm-hmm. and just because certain things have been relaxed, it does not mean that it's a free-for-all and you can go about and do as you like or drop back into your old ways. Mm-hmm. I really hope that they heard the news, because they say what can happen. Things can get back even more stricter than they were before. Okay. I don't know what you was your take on that. Okay. I really hope that they really will pay very serious attention to how they go about their daily business and not take things for granted.
Okay. So I'll respond to you in one fell swoop. And generally, the investment is always good. And even if it is green energy, I don't know of the specific program that you were speaking of, but for a long time, the government had the Green Energy Smart Fund. It was an external sponsor, but it was allowing businesses and persons, households, to participate in getting involved in any green energy or green type investment. And there would also be a tax benefit, etc. If that's what you're speaking of, it's always good for, and it also helps to reduce any footprint, any carbon footprint. As it relates to the second call, we spoke about that. Second point you raised, the third one, you requested specifically someone from People's Cathedral. I guess that is where you meet, but if we were in more unison, or if there was more unity, more if the brothers and sisters across not only the country but the globe spoke with one voice generally. And I say that in response to your request, because of course you're speaking specifically to your congregation, which may have different interpretation of the rules. The rules are difficult to swallow for some, as I shared with one of our previous callers who raised the concern. He was aware of the intent, and we must remember what the intent is. The intent is to reduce the spread. It's not intended to frustrate a church goer or to put any significantly more difficult or onerous burden on church members. We're not going to always have these same restrictions, but within this time, we're seeing that it is benefiting us as a country to stay indoors and to reduce our contractions if we have the virus. And to ensure that it doesn't spread too far. So all these restrictions are being put in place for our benefit and for our care, and to ensure that we, you know, damn down and beat down on the virus. And you made a very valid point. If we were to not take seriously why we have these restrictions, and if we were not to manage the existing restrictions that we have in a careful way, and don't get too quickly back out there doing the things we were doing prior to March 16th, then we can have a resurgence of the virus, because we know of what the virus can do, how long it can stay, incubation, etc. So we need to not get too complacent, as the professionals have told us and you've told us just now. Just make sure we do what we need to do in this season. I'm sure in another quarter we're going to be looking back. I understand by the scientists that there's usually a second wave, so we don't, especially when we reopen our borders, there will be the potential for increased contraction. We know that for sure. But let us continue to do what we need to do at this point in time to ensure that we can return to normalcy, some form of normalcy, but of course with these renewed modifications to life, because I'm sure that life is not going to go back to the same as it was before. This is Down to Brass Stats.
Hello, and a blessed day to you and all.
Good afternoon, yes. Thank you very much.
This is a day that the Lord has made.
Yes,
let
we must rejoice
and be glad in it. Mm-hmm. Some may say, what do we have to rejoice about?
What life?
Mere fact.
COVID-free life.
The breath of life that God has given unto us. Mm-hmm. I just may quickly touch on three of the points that I was touch on, and the my substantial point, I would appreciate a comment. But let me go too quick. The church, they follow the guidelines. The pastor, he was saying that they can't preach with a mask on. If he's out there, on the, this is my opinion, right? If he's out there on the podium alone, he, I don't think he need a mask. And the worship leaders, they are surely they can be separated 6 feet apart or whatever and still have the service. The older persons, like myself, we should appreciate that the government is trying to protect us and not see it as a slight. And, you know, what we have learned over the years, let's put it to use. Let's put it to use. The gentleman speak about the people talking foolishness. We say people talk foolishness. That's just a beijing take. You know, especially if you're willing to listen, talking nonsense or foolishness. So I don't think that is not to hold on too hard. But my main thing is the rights in America. Mm-hmm. The things that I'm seeing, you know, people will post here different things and so on. And I said to myself, this is, all this just goes to show that what can happen in a country. We can actually, countries can implode. Pressure from within, mm-hmm. right? It's not just a war against those on the outside or whatever. This is pressure from within, which is like a pressure cooker. You know a pressure cooker?
Yes.
And people think they're under pressure. And you take it for granted, okay, it will always be the same thing. I'm talking to leaders. Take it for granted. This will always be so. This will always be so. And the pressure is building up in there. And then it explodes. So I see this. I read a lot of history. And I see this as 600 to 700+ years of pressure upon people, mainly blacks, but other people as well. Right?
Okay.
So some of the leaders have nobody else to blame but themselves. But honestly, though, God, through the eyes of God, he said that all of us have sinned and come against the glory of God. We are sinners against mm-hmm. each other, so to speak. Mm-hmm. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So even to mention that the leaders, you know, they have gone to fall, all of us also need to realize that we are not perfect. And also, I see, when I read the Bible, when Adam and Eve sinned, God forgive them. Remember, he forgave them and gave them new instructions. He gave them new instructions as to how to keep living, how to continue living. So I'm praying that all that we have been learning for hundreds of years from the Bible and everything, the leaders, especially the church leaders, the men of God, the women of God, we know that this situation was coming. If you believe in the prophets, and not just the prophet, if you believe in how the times have turned, you will see that the prophets were right? And that because to Jesus Christ came to fulfill those words. So they're here really to maintain life on earth. Therefore, let us observe and pray that humanity may understand what's happening? Mm-hmm. What's happening now? And learn to love and forgive each other, that we all may truly breathe in and out the breath of life which God has given us when he created us in the beginning. Let us all freely take back that breath of life, for freely it was given to us all, in the beginning by God Almighty. Mm-hmm. So take the breath of God and live in Jesus' name, for you are his creation and his beloved. Give all glory to the Most High God. So this is a right time. The apple is there for the picking. The apple, the pear, whatever, is there for the picking. This is a time for those who are in charge. You know, some people, we know they're leaders. They're born leaders, some are made, but they're neat. To lead in the right way, and therefore we will get a little, you know, a little shifting here and there, everybody doing and catch up at the same time. But these kind of things, like what was happening in America, there was things that explode in America, that explode in all different types of countries if man continue to live the way they're living and treat each other the way they're treating each other. That's what I wanted to say.
That's a very good intervention there. You've said a mouthful, and all I can say is that I fully endorse all of what you've said, and hope that we take a leaf out of your book, look at it from its holistic perspective. Thank you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
I got to get my program, please.
You're on the air, sir.
I'm on already. Oh, dear. Good afternoon. This is Mohammed Nasser. How are you?
I'm well, thanks.
Are your family all good?
All is well. All is well.
Okay. Why call about, I just said, a little discussion there about this problem in the United States of America. The truth is that people better understand, and black people better understand, that in every country, including this country there's a small core of people that are white people that form a core that determine what the future of a country must be. The obvious little white fella and girl playing road walking was not the problem. The problem is that hardcore group that decide what must happen. And until we understand that, we will always be having the crisis that we have now in America, and indeed it will happen in Barbados. The truth is that white people are worried about this breeding problem, the acceleration and development of one race towards the next, and they know that their race will be in trouble. Therefore, they are doing everything in their power to make sure that no other race becomes dominant in the world but them, and that's what the problem is. And the next thing I say, because it's time for you to go to use now, is this. Whether we like it or not, the Bible, first four chapters, I know a lot of Christians in Barbados, anybody in Barbados, they don't care who they are, how they get it, anyone who can show me where the Bible talk about any other race other than this Jewish race, whatever this Jewish race is, I do not know what the Jewish race is. Nothing to do with no other human beings on earth. The Bible in the first four books deal with but the Jews. God come to the Jews. God do everything for the Jews. The Jews, the Jews. And then when they black people don't understand that. Again, God don't understand that they have to start mobilizing themselves. Wherever you go in the world, black people are being oppressed, even in Africa. And I don't understand why people get better and have to say these things. White people in Barbados and white people in America, white.
Sir, that we have to go down to Brass Tacks. Remember, we go until 2 p.m. Mr. Dennis Johnson is in the producing seat, and I'm Lisa Gale with you. I'm hosting, moderating, helping you through your queries, issues, etc. Before we went off, we were talking a bit about a number of matters, actually, so we wouldn't necessarily capture all of them, but I think the boss has come up to a number of people have asked a few questions on WhatsApp as well. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ms. Gill. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I wish to engage you for a couple of minutes on two things. Well, a couple of things, really. Mm-hmm. The boss, if it can be guaranteed that, yes, the bonds are tradable, as is being said by the Prime Minister and her economic advisors, and the interest rate, my dear, is 5%. Mm-hmm. Again.
Are you a member of the public sector?
I'm a member of a credit union. I'm not a member of the public service. I'm actually a retired hotel manager.
Mm-hmm.
But
still have an appetite for investment, man. Commendable.
No, but I have an appetite for investment that going to bring returns.
Mm-hmm. And you know it's 4 years.
Not that I got to go and buy a big mattress and put the money and sleep on it.
Although many would argue that seemed to have been a better positioning prior to the restructuring of the last setup. But then again, there were no bonds restructuring. It wasn't the bonds, remember? It was our
other investments. I believe the saving bonds are protected by some statutory instrument. So, mm-hmm. But I will do the research on that.
They did say that these ones are protected, yes. They said that.
So if it is a 5%,
you're in.
I mean, as I said to you a few moments ago, I'm a retired hotel manager,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a veteran of the Wake of SARS, H1N1, the 9/11 terrorist attack outbreak of the Gulf War in 1991 and the economic downturn in 2008. Mm-hmm. I have managed hotels through these various crises. COVID-19 is different. I've never seen anything like it before. And the challenge for us is that with the SARS and the H1, even the terrorist attack is as bad as it was. Mm-hmm. It only affected certain geographical areas. The 9/11 affected the United States market. And while there were steep and serious declines in the USA market, it did not affect the European and the Canadian market that way. So we were able to continue.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to continue in the business. Now, COVID-19 has shut down the entire world. And the people that we could rely on in the past for help are worse off than us in some instances.
Yep.
So we can't look to them for any help because they need help themselves.
Yes.
We need to look internally at what we can do to protect ourselves and build some kind of resilience going forward.
Mm-hmm.
The villa market will hold its own. The owners of villas can fly in on a private jet. They're not confined to commercial flights. The villa has a swimming pool. It's on the beach or near the beach. It has the largest pantry in the world. They have houses. And if you tell a villa owner that he needs, if a villa owner comes to Barbados with his family, his wife and two children, sometimes they bring along the help and so on,
mm-hmm.
6-7 people, and you tell them that they need to quarantine for 14 days, they can do that quarantine within the villa. They do not have to come out.
Allowed. Mm-hmm.
They do not have to come out. They have everything enclosed in that villa capsule, as it were.
Yeah.
So that's the place, that's an area that we need to look at in the hope of getting back up.
You know, we still had a few that were still in operation right now.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Because as I said, if they can get permission to land, they can fly on a private jet. They're not on a commercial jet. So they will come in on a 14 or 15-seater commercial jet with their families, to go through the processes at the airport, and go to the villa. And once they get inside the villa, behind the villa gate, they do not have to come back out for 14 or 21 days. Because even the housekeeping staff that is working with them, the culinary staff that is working with them, will do the shopping and normally does the shopping.
Okay.
Because the chefs write the menus and tell the folks what they're going to cook for them and what they're going to have for dinner and stuff like that. And so the point I'm making is that you can quarantine yourself in a villa and live in luxury at the same time.
Okay.
Now, one of the other things we need to do, and I believe it was touched on earlier, if we are not earning foreign exchange,
mm-hmm.
we need to save foreign exchange. I read in the paper last week, $683 million in foodstuffs imported into Barbados. I cut it out and put it in a file. And every time I look at it, I create shame on us. We got land, we have land in this country running wild and bush. And we importing things into this country that can grow here and have grown here before and have been growing here very successfully. There are things that we cannot grow here, and we will always need to import those things. But there are some things that can grow here, some things that have been grown here for years,
mm-hmm.
and we need to get back into that, put the land back to work for us. Every dollar we save from importing foodstuff is a dollar in foreign exchange earned for our country. And we need to really, I sat down as far back as in the 80s on committees. Sir Charles Williams was a member, was the chairman of one of the committees, looking at how the hotel industry can work with the farmers in terms of providing a safe market for their produce. A tremendous amount of work has already been done. Dust off the files. We train chefs through the Barbados Hotel Association to prepare fancy menus using local stuff. Take out the binders, out the drawer, off the shelf, and dust them off.
Some of it has started.
A lot of that work has already started.
Yes, but I would say that you're it is not going on deaf ears. A couple of weeks ago, there was a discussion on People's Business, and the Minister of Agriculture was asked about that same, not necessarily project, but some of the work that had been ongoing, and it did say that they're not starting, you know, over from scratch. There's some significant work that was done, and they will themselves be looking to use some of the persons who have already been.
I sat on one of the committees representing the luxury group of the Hotel Association, because at that time I was operations manager at Paradise Beach Club. So I was one of the representatives from the luxury group, and I sat on that, and I remember vividly Sir Charles Williams was the chairman of that group, cause, and at that time he was also a chairman of the Pine Hill Dairy. Right?
Yes. One thing I want to respond. Earlier you said that with a villa, they can easily quarantine in their own surroundings in luxury. But one of the requirements now, if a person comes in to Barbados and has shown to have anything, they themselves have to be quarantined at a medical facility.
Which is fine. And I'm sure they will. My understanding is that the quarantine facilities are world class.
Yes, I heard that. I heard that.
That is my understanding. Thank God, it wasn't necessary for me to go to any. Thank God. Mm-hmm. But from what I've been hearing from persons who have been admitted there, are very pleased with the quality of the surroundings and the quality of the care. And I dare say myself, having been a patient at QEH, in one instance of 16 straight weeks, I can attest to the quality of the medical care in Barbados. So anyhow, the other thing is, the other point I wanted to make as it relates to saving foreign exchange, Barbados imported $880 million in 2019 in fossil fuels. Let us use solar energy as extensively as is possible. I heard Mr. Busy Williams saying that farmers that got land that they're not working, they can rent, they can use it as a solar farm to generate electricity, sell that electricity to the Barbados Light and Power, and they will still be earning revenue from the farm. They're not working in agricultural produce, or not using all of it in agricultural production, food production, but they can use some of it for solar electric generation.
Yes. Dr. Brass Tacks.
We have highlights of some of the questions posed this morning at the Boss Consultation with Prime Minister Muir Mottley and Economic Advisor to the Government, Dr. Kevin Greenidge.
Many of the retired members within the labour movement are inquiring about their ability to purchase bonds. I know that government wants to set limits with the debt incurred by the bonds. However, they are very enthused by the interest rates and feel that they're suffering by what is now ordered and being paid by the commercial banks. Can they be considered? Now, the bottom line is that we have to get the numbers right too, because too far east is always west. And therefore, the two things that we know that we're trying to be able to deal with this year are, one, the $100 million that we want for additional capital works there. But secondly, we know that we have to go back at the market at some point. Even though we have some monies that we can use, we don't want to use up all of the liquidity we have as well in the event of a second wave or a third wave of COVID, which, as you know, the WHO has said is entirely possible. So we may have to go back to the market with a pandemic solidarity bond for the NIS in the future. And in that one, that would be more open to the whole public. Its terms and conditions will be similar, may not be the 5%, it may be 4, 4.25% or whatever. But the point is that there's going to be another opportunity beyond this for those who are non-public servants. Okay?
I am not clear about this optional, the boss. Is it optional that you sign on for the bond, or you have to do the deduction? Whether as a start for 18 months, you do it for 4 months, then 2 months, but in all, you must do the deduction.
You don't have
is
to do it.
Is it optional, or is it that you have to do it?
You don't have to do it at all. At the end of the day, if you choose that you don't want to have bonds at all, you can say, I don't want bonds, I only want cash. In which case, the credit union or whoever is registered with the central bank or the brokers that they have will say, I want to pick up those that nobody's assigned to anybody else. So you'll still get your full cash.
So I will still get my full salary at the end of the month.
Yeah. Okay. It just comes from two different sources. Yeah. Kevin?
Right.
So what you're saying is that I have to wait till the central bank sell the bond before
no.
I get my
money. No.
Get it the same time as normal.
You will get it your salary the same way. Let's say you should get 5,000 in your bank account. You're going to see 5,000 differences. You might see it from two sources. You will see, say, 4,500, the majority coming from the treasury, and then you will see from the central bank coming the other 500. But no delay. You don't have to wait the central bank. In fact, the central bank picks up the bond immediately and buy it, but turn around and sell it, just to ensure that no public sector worker has to wait for their money. So you go to the bank, your money will be there.
So the money is going to be deducted anyway?
Pardon me?
It's going to be deducted anyway?
No, okay, let's look at it from your perspective. You say you don't want no bond, you want cash. You sign that for me.
I don't want y'all touching my salary.
Good. Now. No, you don't want me to touch your salary. Good. Then when you go to the bank, you will see your full salary.
Okay.
That's the end. The only difference, to be fully transparent, is that you will see it coming from two sources. You will see, say, 4,500 coming from the treasury, as you normally see, and you will see the remaining piece coming from the bank, and it will add up to the full amount. That's what you will see. All we are saying is that behind the scenes, government issues a bond still in your name, and it is sold off to the credit union so that some other credit union or other member can benefit from. But for your purposes, you get your full cash as you want it, on time with your paycheck, no delay.
This is just a comment. I think a lot of us are worried because we don't know if we can afford to have that bond at the end of the month.
We do what? Sorry,
we don't know if we can't afford to have it.
Right.
That's right. Just let me finish.
Go ahead.
My feeling is this. I think we all would like to participate in helping the country, quote unquote. It's just that for me, $335 at the end of the month is hard. What about for some of us, you bring a bond that is, say, 100, like for somebody like me, I may be able to afford 100. I think what people are feeling is that the percentages that y'all put out there, for some of us, it's too high.
But let me repeat, and I think we are on the same page. You are saying exactly what I say to you. If you by default supposed to have 300, you say, listen, I can only afford $50. That is all that will be allocated to you. You will get the remaining cash. So,
but it will still have to come. It won't come to the, you know, the total.
Let me say that, for your example, just now, 5,000. Let's say 5,000, and the 500 was allocated to you in bonds. You say, listen, I can't afford to save 500. I want to save 100. You will get your 4,900 in the bank the same way the 100 in the bond.
And or, 100 will be deducted every month for 18 months.
Yes, but beautifully, because we do it every month, you might come to a position where you say, listen, I like the fact that I get a flow of income, and now my situation is eased a bit. Increase that 100 to 200. And you say so in November. That will be done. And then later you say, no, I got to fall back. So it's fully flexible. You can say any amount from 0 to 100% of that bond, you can say convert.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. But thank you for your question, because I think other persons, it helps to reinforce the other person the flexibility of it.
And before the question comes, it's just important for you to note that the trade unions also made sure of that. That wasn't the case last week, Monday, but it is the case now. Putting in the plugs wherever we can.
I came here this morning to really say to the government, this is a really amazing, amazing plan. Boss plan, as it's called. And I am happy as a public servant to be able to make a commitment. It's really hard to say that we all have disposable income. We really don't. But when I think about what this plan will do, how it will help my brothers, how it will help my sisters, how it will help my family, I have no choice. Even though I don't have a lot of fiscal space, I will find some money. I will find money because as a social worker, I understand the deprivation. I understand the hardship that is out there. When I think about that household mitigation program, assistance program that the government would have just put in place, I know I sound a little teary because when I look and see how that's helping individuals out there, I can tell you some of us, we might not, because of where we are or where we sit, we don't get to see that every day, but I get to see it. And I'm very happy that the government came up with a program that will be give me the opportunity to invest my money. Not only invest my money to help save. I got a problem saving. And if I buy a bond, it can help me to save. So I am very happy. And my real concern, though, is how this message is going to get out to the worker who really needs to come on board. There are a lot of negative energies out there. Where I say, I hear people since this program started telling individuals don't invest in the bonds, and because they're not hearing and they don't understand, we need to get the message out. We need to go department by department, depot by depot. We need to get this message out because there are, I get some negative things on my phone that is going wrong on social media about why people should not participate in the bond. And I really think the message need to go out. And I come here this morning to say to the government, not that you will not get full participation, because my understanding is whether I participate or not, the bond can still be sold on my behalf. And the government will still be getting the fiscal space. But I want, just like the Prime Minister, I want Barbadians to invest in something that we can get back some sort of money. So I really would like the unions to get up. Don't sit down here. Get out in the departments and get the message out. My question now, can the unions buy some of these bonds on behalf of their members? I know.
Yes, if you get
hold on. I know the unions might not have a lot of money because, you know, but I think you still have some money that you can take up. And if I cannot buy a bond, buy it on my behalf. Okay? So that is my question. Can the unions buy bonds for their members?
Yes, sister.
I just want to appeal. I know this is becoming live, public servants. Stop thinking about yourself and think about your brothers and sisters. I swear, I at the bottom of the pay grade, but I can still find at least some sort of money to invest. All of us. I'm going to take some money out of the banks and put it in the bonds. You can get back your bond or your money whenever you want it. So I just want to say to the government, this is so, so amazing. And I can't wait. I may not be able to start July, but I can start. So just letting you know that this is an amazing plan, and thank you.
Thank you, sister, so the Prime Minister would want to respond in a different way. But since you posed the question to the trade union is the membership. So give us some more money, and then we could transform into a financial institution. But underscoring that, I hope the point is not lost.
Let's work together to make Barbados world class, so everybody can be smiling.
Well, okay. But the whole business of these six meetings is to achieve precisely what you spoke about. Information, you are only empowered with information. And if we had taken it on ourselves to come to sell or introduce this program to you, there would be questions that you raise that I could not necessarily answer as persuasively or as convincingly as the Prime Minister or Dr. Greenidge can. So the real reason for this meeting is to give the membership an opportunity to quiz, to comment, to criticize, to support the BOSS program with the originators of it being present. Prime Minister, I believe you want to entertain a Zoom.
We have several questions on Zoom. I propose to ask three that are similarly related and then pause for the response. How will this be reflected on income tax at year end? Will the bonds portion be viewed as an investment or salary earned? On payday, will I get my instrument in hand? And thirdly, can an employee who is retiring decide to opt in a percentage of their gratuity in bonds?
All right, thank you. The first one is, let me see.
Need a reminder?
Yeah, remind me first one again.
Will this be reflected on my income tax?
No. Okay, right. So this BOSS program impacts your income tax zero. There's no impact on your income tax. Remember, it is on net after tax NAS and net take home salary. The only difference is you're taking it home two different ways. So there's zero impact on your income tax. But also remember that usually the interest earned from any investment is taxed. Withholding taxes applied to that. In this instance, that is not applied either. So zero withholding tax. So interest is yours, and the money in your account, your bond account, is just the money in your deposit account at a commercial bank or a credit union. Nothing to do with your tax. The second question is about...
Will I get my instrument in hand?
Yes. What happened is, remember, it matures in 4 years. So the instrument you put in July, let's say you put in 500, that's bond number one. 500. Every 6 months, you will get interest on that 500, which is $25 every month, $12.50 every 6 months. So that at the end of 4 years, you get interest, all your interest. On the July 2024, that 500 that you put in initially is then sent as cash to your bank account or the designated account at the credit union, wherever, so you get it back at the end of the period. And the last one was about gratuity.
Yes, please.
What was the question? Gratuity. Is it about putting gratuity as part of it?
It would appear so that this person wants to know if they are due to retire soon, can they opt to have a percentage of their gratuity?
It's something we can look at. I'm not going to say yes or no from this platform because it really comes back down to how much space we have. We don't want to go too high. We could go above 100 million, but it has to be the subject of internal discussions now with our debt management unit, because one of the things that we don't ever want to do in this country is to so bunch debt again that it becomes a problem. So I have learned after 30 years in public life that I don't give answers that sound good. I give answers that are truthful and endure and are capable of implementation. So let us get the right guidance and we'll come back to you on that. But gratuities are a government expenditure and technically it falls within it. It's just a question of what fiscal space it will create and what room we have left. Okay?
Good afternoon to the head table. Will a Category 5 hurricane not impact on the impact or force restructuring upon the BOSS program?
Sorry. Yeah, I got it. Don't worry about it. If we have a Category 5, Category 4, Category 3, Category 2, Category 1, or Tropical Storm Kerr, I pray first that there's no loss of life. And I pray that there is limited loss of property. But the truth is
that because in our restructured bonds, we put in a natural disaster clause, and if I kick myself for anything, is not extending that natural disaster clause to pandemic. But we're actually going to be better fiscally off than we are now, because a natural disaster like Tropical Storm Kirk, remember that? That was last September 2018. Nobody didn't die. We had a few roofs, literally a handful. We got money from CRIF. That kind of storm will immediately, or anything stronger, will immediately trigger a suspension of all of our debt payments. All of the principal, you don't pay for 2 years. And all of the interest that we would have paid on our debt goes now on the back end to be paid when we recover. What does that mean in real terms? That over a 2 year period, we will literally not have to pay $1.7 billion in debt service, which will allow us to take that $1.7 billion and deal with all of the losses and all of the rebuilding. So if we have to help people whose houses are uninsured, we're in a position to be able to give them something. If we have to help farmers who whose crops have been damaged in the storm, we're in a position to give them a little something. So the truth is that far from put us under pressure with bonds, it actually eases the pressure from us significantly. Okay?
Okay, secondly, since the BOSS program is an optional scheme and a wide cross-section of Barbadians express an interest in buying bonds, why is the option to purchase bonds not left open to the general public rather than to the public servants?
I think we answered that a few times for you. So that the truth is that it comes down to literally not wanting to take on more debt than we need to take on. Just because you can have access to all the cake and sweetbread that you want, you don't eat it all at once, because at the end of the day, it's bad for you. So just because we could have access to all the debt that we want, we're not going to take it, because it would be the wrong and immature and reckless thing to do. But I have told you that there is likely to be one other major instrument coming later in the year that will allow us to help stabilize the national insurance scheme, which is critical, because all of us in here ultimately will have to do what? Depend on it. And therefore, the unemployment benefit fund in every country, in every part of the world, was established without a thought ever being given for this kind of pandemic. As a result, government is going to have to put monies into the NIS to stabilize, because the unemployment benefit fund at the outset would have had about $20 million. Delcia, about $20 million. And the unemployment benefit fund, it probably had about $20 million. The severance fund is a lot healthier. So we have to put money back into the NIS to help it do its job and to be able to support the people who are now claiming all of those. Okay?
Thank you.
Zoom.
Three more. Can the central bank keep interest payments until the majority of the bond? Sorry, until the maturity of the bond?
Sorry, that would be a different type of instrument. Usually, typical savings bonds like that. But this one, we also consider the fact that we want to create some liquidity, a stream of income coming in for the bondholders. So your money, your interest earned, will go directly to your account every 6 months.
Okay.
I think that this is an opportunity, Barry, Edwin, for the credit union movement to look at a special savings account for people who want to accumulate the interest separately, almost like a fixed deposit type thing that mirrors the life of it rather than us. Because we wanted to give you as much liquidity, there are different types of bonds. You could have a bond that gives you all your interest at the end, but that was not what we were hearing from the labor movement. Labor movement wanted, and we agreed with them, ultimate liquidity and flexibility.
And to that extent, even instead of having one bond, you're getting now 18 strip bonds so that you can do and play with it as much as you want. Okay? But I do think there's an opportunity, certainly for the credit union movement, and if not them, for the traditional meet and turn.
The next question. Ultimately, government's ability to honor the bonds 4 to 6 years from now will depend not on the legal framework, but on the state of the economy. What would government's balance sheet, that is, fiscal deficit, foreign reserves, inflation, etc., have to look like to enable government to meet its boss obligations?
Like Bert.
Meaning we're returning to the path we were on. This is a temporary shock. So if you look at the Bert program, that will we look like.
We're not being facetious. Look, we've had to adjust our targets. Barbados has what is known as a fiscal anchor. Okay? We all know what an anchor does for a boat. Similarly, we have an anchor for our fiscal space. And our anchor says, we inherited a government that had debt to GDP at 177%. The government recorded formally 176%. Government recorded formally 157%. And then when we came in, we found another 19% of GDP that they owned from larboard to starboard. Everybody. So 177%. The BERT program says this. We can't bring this down overnight because it will just jettison everybody. People got to live. So what we negotiated and what we said to the IMF is that we are going to do this over a 15-year period. And we're going to come to what is the acceptable standard in 15 years' time. And what is that standard? 60% debt to GDP ratio. Clearly, to do that, it meant that instead of running deficits, because what a deficit is, as Kevin told you, I am spending more money than I'm earning. But I've got to bridge it every year. So every year that I run a deficit, it then becomes debt. And that's why government's debt ran in 2008. The government of Barbados owed $6 billion. By 2018, without necessarily seeing what we had for it, the government now owed near $15 billion because they were borrowing. If you're running 7% deficits and 10% deficits, 6% deficit, it means that you are borrowing $500, $600 million, $700 million a year. So when you do that for 10 years...
You're listening to highlights of some of the questions and the answers given during the boss consultation this morning, with Prime Minister Muir Motley and Economic Advisor to the Government, Dr. Kevin Greenidge. Do apologize for the abrupt end to the Prime Minister's response.